Okay, I want to talk to you about praying, because the invaders are burning America. Share a few revelations with you here. In Joel's chapter 1 and 2 is a text that we have received many, many times from the Lord regarding the things that are coming to America, and now they have arrived. In this text, the invading enemy burned much land of Israel and Judah, but were stopped when they approached the bride, Jerusalem. And because of the cries of intercession from the bride, this burning and desolation in this text is stopped. And also, we believe here on the ground, it's going to be stopped. Okay? Let me share with you Joel chapter 1 and a portion of chapter 2. The word of the Lord came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or in the days of your fathers? Well, I would say no. We haven't seen anything like this, really. Tell ye your children of it. And let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. That which the palmer worm hath left, hath the locust eaten. And that which the locust hath left, hath the cankerworm eaten. And that which the cankerworm hath left, hath the caterpillar eaten. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep, and wail, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the sweet wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. Of course, we know what wine represents, the life of Jesus, right? The life of the flesh is in the blood, and the wine represents the blood, right? For a nation has come upon my land, strong and without number. His teeth are teeth of a lion, and he hath the jaw teeth of a lioness. He hath laid my vine waste, and barked my fig tree. He hath made it clean bare, and cast it away. The branches thereof are made white. Lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. That's a command to us. The meal offering and the drink offering are cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests, the Lord's ministers, mourn. The field is laid waste, the land mourneth, for the grain is destroyed, the new wine is dried up, the oil languisheth. Have you noticed the drought and things that are happening to our nation? Be confounded, O ye husbandmen. Wail, O ye vine dressers, for the wheat and for the barley, for the harvest of the field is perished. The vine is withered. The fig tree languisheth. The pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered, for joy is withered away from the sons of men. Gird yourselves with sackcloth and lament. Ye priests, wail, ye ministers of the altar. Come and lie all night in the sackcloth, ye ministers of my God, for the meal offering and the drink offering are withholden from the house of your God. Sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the old men and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. Now he's going to tell you why here in just a minute. Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Is not the food cut off from your eyes? Well, folks, the breadbasket is being totally spoiled in America. Yea, joy and gladness from the house of our God. The seeds rot under their clods. The garners are laid desolate. The barns are broken down, for the grain is withered. How do the beasts groan? The herds of cattle are perplexed. Yeah, the people are turning them to slaughter because they don't have any feed for them, right? People are buying a half a cow and find out they don't have as much as they thought. Anyway, because they have no pasture, yea, the flocks of sheep are made desolate. O Lord, to thee do I cry, for the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and the flame hath burned all the trees of the field. There it is, the burning of America. Yea, and by the way, locusts don't do this. I mean, some people actually say it's physically locusts, but of course he's talking about an army that's like locusts, you know, that's come against his people. And this northern army is coming against God's people now. We can see it out there all over the place, and yes, they are burning the place. They're invaders. Yea, the beasts of the field pant unto thee, for the water brooks are dried up. The fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness. And Joel chapter 2, blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, as the dawn spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall any be any more after them, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and none hath escaped them. You know, I got to tell you, Israel is burning, but they're treating this the way it should be treated. They're terrorists. They're calling a terrorist. Here, we're being lied about. I just talked to Charlie the other day, and Charlie told me that he ran into a ranger over there that was imported from one of the other states, because they've got a lot of them in here because of fires in these three or four states around us here. Charlie said, is it true what we've been hearing, that this is ISIS doing this? He said, no, it's not ISIS. We're just burning the undergrowth. We're just, in other words, the ranger was blaming it on them. They were burning things, which we know to be lies because they've gathered up in the area here, I think, eight or so people that were setting fires. So they having these people come in here and lie to us, you know. So, you know, it's just crazy. They think it's going to believe all that. I don't know. But Israel is not being politically correct, and they're going out after terrorists, and they're dealing with them, right? The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so do they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of the mountains do they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble. As a strong people set in battle array, at their presence the peoples are in anguish, all faces are waxed pale. They run like mighty men, they climb the wall like men of war. And they march every one on his ways, and they break not their ranks, neither doth one thrust another. They march every one in his path, and they burst through the weapons, and break not off their course. If you remember our last broadcast, we were talking about how witchcraft and Satanism is dealing with these people to make them so crazy. They are full of faction and full of witchcraft, and that's why they're crazy. And we've had a lot of experience with this, so we understand it completely. The world is wondering, huh? What are they saying? What? How can they? It just can't be calculated. It's just so foolish. Of course, God is making those people foolish for a reason, so that people know they're crazy. Don't pay any attention to them. Get away from them. Yes, let's change. Let's have a change here. They leap upon the city. They run upon the wall. They climb up into the houses. They enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth quaketh before them. The heavens tremble. The sun and the moon are darkened, and the stars withdraw their shining, probably because of all the fires. And the Lord uttereth his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. See, it's the Lord doing this. What we're seeing so far is nothing like the Lord has been promising was going to come concerning this burning. I'll share that with you in a minute. Because it's what American Christianity deserves. We're seeing the mercy of God. These people are executing His will upon a totally apostate Christianity in America. As you know, this Northern Army conquered Israel and Judah and failed when they came against the bride. The bride is the one that broke their headlock on the people of God, just like it was in Esther. Okay. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? You say, why the bride, David? Because the bride's got faith. That's what we call righteousness, purity, holiness, that beautiful gown, you know. She's got faith, and she's walking in holiness, and her prayers are heard. The average American Christian, their prayers aren't heard, and they know it. And they'll tell you so, if you really ask them. Verse 12, yet even now, says the Lord, turn ye unto me with all of your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, and repenteth him of evil. So you see, it is a possibility that God will repent of total devastation here, you know, because that's what's been promised in past prophecies and things about the burning of America. Okay. He may repent of the evil. That's what we need. Father, in the name of Jesus, put it in your people's hearts to draw aside from all of the things of the world that distract and to come to you and pray and humble themselves and pray and ask your forgiveness and confess their sins and receive mercy from you. Put it in their hearts, Lord. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Verse 14, who knoweth whether he will not turn and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meal offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God? See, the Lord has a means to an end. What he wants to do in this second chapter, he'll do it because, according to this chapter, the people cried out to him, confessed sins, cried out to him, fasted, prayed, sought the Lord with all their heart. They dropped everything. They dropped everything to do this. They weren't distracted. And here we are, we have a short time left, according to quite a few revelations, and God's people are still going about their own business, doing their own thing. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, he says. Gather the people, sanctify the assembly, assemble the old men, gather the children, and those that suck the breasts. And let the bridegroom go forth from his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Of course, this is talking about Zion. Blow the trumpet in Zion. And of course, the bride and the bridegroom are there, as you can see. But they're stopping to pray. You know, they're stopping to seek the Lord. Because they say, spare thy people, O Lord. Give not thy heritage to reproach, that the nations should rule over them. By the way, that's what's happening. The invaders that don't believe in democracy, by their very actions, these are people that don't belong in a democracy. They don't belong in that kind of grace. They need to be under a bloodthirsty dictator. And you may find that we have just this fellow, if there's not some repentance. This bloodthirsty dictator's been killing people all over the world. Wherefore should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Because that's, of course, what they're saying. Hey, where's their God now? Look how easy these people are to conquer. Where's their God now? You remember at the Red Sea how that Rahab spoke about how the nations were afraid of them and their God because of what he did at the Red Sea. Okay? They respected. I mean, the Egyptians gave gold to them. They feared their God so much. It was like an offering, you know, a peace offering, you know, so on and so forth. 18. Then was the Lord jealous for his land and had pity on his people. Why? Because they dropped everything and cried out to the Lord. They didn't get distracted with things of the world. Do you have to go to your job at work? Yeah, you probably do, but there's time that you can use that you normally use for yourself, you know. And the Lord answered and said unto his people, behold, I will send you grain and new wine and oil. Everything that they had lost because of the drought and the destruction and the burning and so on and so forth. All of which we can see. And you shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the nations. Well, God's people need to be in touch with God so that he will defend them, like he did here. But I will remove far off from you the northern army, and I will drive it into a land barren and desolate. Now, George Washington had just that revelation about what happened to the invaders. I'll share that with you in a minute, a piece of it anyway. Into a land barren and desolate, forepart into the eastern sea and hinder part into the western sea. Exactly what Trump is planning to do. Ship them offshore. And its stench shall come up, and its ill savor shall come up, because it hath done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord hath done great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. So God had mercy, and things that were burnt up are springing back to life here. For the tree beareth its fruit, and the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he giveth you the former rain in just measure, and he causes to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, the vats shall overflow with new wine. So God just blessed everything, because there was a repentance and a crying out to God for his mercy. He blessed everything. Everything that had been taken from them by this great army. And he goes on to say that, I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. You know, saints, leading up to this time of the coming man-child, it would be as it was when Jesus came. There was a lot of need. People had lived under the curse for so long, they thought it was normal. And then when Jesus showed up, he began to deliver them because of that former rain anointing on him. He began to deliver them. And now we're in this situation. A lot of God's people are under the curse, living under years of robbery by this great army that God has sent against his people to humble them, to cause them to turn to him. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and shall praise the name of the Lord your God, that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and there is none else, and my people shall never be put to shame. And it came to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and of course this is what comes right behind this burning army when it is thwarted, this outpouring of the Spirit. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. How much of Christianity has never had any of this? How much of Christianity has ever been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Very, very small part. Very small part. All that's going to change because going into the wilderness, those people, they were baptized in the sea and in the cloud. There's something going to change here. I would say the death of Pharaoh's army, for one. The death of the old man, number two. We got a wonderful time coming, a great celebration on the other side of the Red Sea, right? And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out of my spirit. I'll show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Amen. By the way, they did see that at the Red Sea too, didn't they? Pillars of fire, pillars of the cloud. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord cometh. And we know that there is a day that is a year that is also called the great and terrible day of the Lord. And we're not talking physically, we're talking about something that's happening before the tribulation period that also looks like what happens after the tribulation period. Why is that? Because now he is sanctifying a man-child and a bride through this enemy that comes against them. It's a crucifixion. Well, when does the church get their crucifixion? During the tribulation. And the end of it, the day of the Lord, is after the tribulation. So, see, there's a parallel by what happens before and what happens after. Okay? It's just it's happening in a smaller way now. But soon, the church has got to go through the same crucifixion. It's the only way. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those that escape. And as you know, the northern army here, like the Sennacherib scenario, you know, the northern army, the bride did escape. And the Lord has said, and among the remnant, those whom the Lord doth call. You know, there's a lot of other great texts that the Lord has given us concerning these coming days. And they all have a lot in common with this text here and with the circumstance that we're seeing on the ground. The bride interceded for the people of God, like in the book of Esther, to spare them from Haman and his army, right? And they were heard. And God alone answered the enemy with destruction. Today, there are a lot of people trying to bring down Pharaoh, Sennacherib, Haman. They're trying. And even as much as they got on them, they haven't touched them. And they're pretty arrogant, man. They just do things right in front of you. They kill people and they try to kill others and nobody says anything. Nobody's laid a glove on them. The thing is, the Lord is going to do this. I've said this from the beginning. Most of y'all know that. The Lord wants to show you that you can't do this. He's hardening Pharaoh's heart to show you that you can't do this. All the while, he is ready to do it himself to show you that salvation comes from God and is not by your works, right? You know, in Sennacherib's besieging of Jerusalem, the bride, they cried to the Lord and were spared. And Sennacherib's hold on the rest of Israel, because he'd walked all the way through all the rest of Israel and Judah, his hold on them was broken. And he died like Haman. God alone answered this time too. God didn't need any help. He took care of it. Pharaoh had finally released the people of God to be free. Yeah, kind of like this vote, right? Oh, it's okay, let's concede. And they did concede, and, you know, so on and so forth. So, we're free. But then he repented and went to bring back the slaves, as we see now in this election scenario, because now they want to recount the votes. Now they're going to burn your city down and burn your woods down and burn your state down if you don't concede. And they'll beat you up. Now the whole world's looking at this and saying, oh my goodness, we can see who the criminals are now. The news media are making a fool of themselves. They've destroyed themselves with their foolishness, because their dishonesty is not natural. It is totally supernatural. They've been given over to the spirits of witchcraft and faction, because they were hirelings for the powers that be. And God judged them, just as he judged these people that want to invade this land with a wicked enemy, burn it up, so on and so forth. Of course, at the Red Sea, God alone took down Pharaoh and his army. And this is where we're going now. Here's just a tiny portion of George Washington's vision. The part that's in our day. Okay? And I pulled this out. Actually, I wrote some notes in here back in 6/10 of 2015. And here's the report. Again, I heard the mysterious voice saying, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." He's talking to George. At this, the shadowy angel placed a trumpet to his mouth and blew three distinct blasts. Taking water from the ocean, he sprinkled it upon Europe, Asia, and Africa. Well, we know that God is bringing a jihadist invasion from these continents to make war, especially against the Christians and the Jews. And that's happening in the U.S. right now. The president has commanded that the border be left completely open. Don't even stop them. Don't do anything. So everybody heard that, of course, and they're trying to beat President Trump to the throne. Okay, so they're going to rush into America as fast as they can. They're doing. They're flooding across the border. Yeah, jihadists and all. See if that really matters to our president. It doesn't. Doesn't matter to him a bit. It's his plan. It always has been. He's trying to bring it to pass probably too quickly, because the Lord ain't going to let it all come to pass. Then my eyes beheld a fearful scene. From each of these continents arose thick black clouds that were soon joined into one. And throughout this mass there gleamed a dark red light, by which I saw hordes of armed men. These men, moving with the cloud, marched by land and sailed by sea to America. And they have. Which country was enveloped in the volume of cloud? And I dimly saw these vast armies devastate the whole country and burn the villages, towns, and cities which I had seen springing up. Well, so now you see where this is going. It's not just a little thing, and nobody's really taking it very seriously, including the Christians. And a prophet friend of mine in Florida shared a vision that he had with me many years ago, and he said that the Lord took me to the streets of America, and I saw all the cities on fire. And he said at that time we have 8 million Muslims in America, and when the war breaks out in the Holy Land, and by the way, that's happening too, and when America gets involved, 8 million Muslims will burn America to the ground. To say nothing of the BLM people and the communists and others that have joined hands with these people. They have joined hands with these people. Obama has brought them together at his table. And this brother here also spoke of many people being butchered, as we also have seen in dreams. Charlie and Linda's dream was like that. They went into a city that looked like it had been burned or something, and there were Muslims there sneaking around, killing people and butchering them and so on and so forth, you know. And this was a city that we know, you know. And he said, I saw from Kissimmee, Florida to Miami underwater, and then the Lord showed me portable buildings stacked like a train, all connected together. The buildings were full of people with legs and arms missing. That's what they like to do. I ran into the buildings and there were no end of the buildings. How could a flood cut off limbs? Well, no, it didn't. It wasn't the flood. This is, I believe this water coming in is Planet X effect on the Earth, as it was in ancient times. And during this time of an invasion of jihadists are taking advantage of the confusion to kill as many people as they can. And they're famous for cutting off limbs and so on and so forth, just like this revelation. We know that the Bible says that when the enemy comes in like a flood too, you know. And I believe that the third war that Washington saw, which is the one we're talking about right here, has already started with the Islamic jihadist invasion into the U.S. from Europe, Asia, and Africa, just like he said. And it's for the purpose of making war on the people and making this a Muslim nation, which has been Obama's plan all along. And Jade Helm just might keep the peace while they do this dirty work. And examples of this invasion, I'll share a few with you in a few minutes, but ISIS is streaming across the southern border. I spoke this back at that time in June of 2015. And, of course, the Border Patrol is forbidden to detain them under threat of losing their job or worse. At that time, I shared with you a video by Avi Lipkin from March 26, 2015. It speaks of Muslim radio stations repeating his wife is the one who reports to Israel what the Muslims are saying on their radio stations. And so he was in on the ground floor of receiving this info. And it speaks of Muslim radio stations repeating the Saudi demand to make America a Muslim nation. The plan is to bring tens of millions of Muslims into the United States, which they are doing. There's also mentioned here the plot to destroy Israel and Iran by using them against each other. That's what Obama's plan is. But we know it's not going to work out the way he thinks. And there's a reason. The reason is God's people who know him, cry to him, call upon him, and ask for mercy, as Esther did for the people of God. And these unscreened Muslims are flooding into the U.S. with government permission by over 100,000 a year, not including those who are coming over the border while it's being held open. I mean, how come people don't have sense enough to know they have a traitor in the White House. How do they not know this? It's crazy, isn't it? You know, you can't do anything against God. Anything that you think you can do, you won't find the energy. You won't find the door. You just won't be able to do it. When God says He's going to do something to you, He can do it. Don't think. I mean, I hear people say all the time, oh, that wouldn't happen. How can that happen in America, you know? Many do not understand the sovereignty of God, who works all things after the counsel of His own will, and works all things together for the good of those that love Him and are called according to His purpose, right? And especially when they finally get the beginning of wisdom, which is the fear of the Lord. Many do not understand when I say that God ordained our president to chasten the rebellious church to bring many to repentance through the fear of the Lord. And without this, many would not bear fruit and wouldn't be saved. He'll bring more to repentance through this than all the lukewarm preachers could ever do. So pray for him as you are commanded in the Word. And ISIS is in the United States by their own admission and planning attacks. They've told us what they're going to do to different cities, schools, all these things. They've told us exactly what they're going to do with their bombs. And when they started coming into the country, they started absconding with propane tanks for bombs and telephones for just setting them off. And I guess they hushed all that up because we hadn't heard anything about it since. But there was a rash of that. So you think they're ever going to use those things? Yeah. By God's permission, they will. ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and other Islamic jihadists are here to make war, just as this administration used them in the Middle East. And I shared with you back at that time that a woman witnessed that large buses with whited-out windows were coming over the border with Homeland Security and its logo on the side of them. She decided to chase one of these buses down until they stopped. And she spoke to one of the drivers at the stop, and the driver told her that he was transporting Muslims to the cities in the United States. And there was a fleet of these things doing this, and maybe still are, I don't know. ISIS has claimed it can smuggle nuclear weapons through Nigeria and Mexico into the United States. Remember Nazi Germany's Night of the Long Knives? Took place in the time frame of Jade Helm. Well, consider what my prophet friend from Florida said to me years ago. He said, we have 8 million Muslims. Of course, there's more than that here now. And when the war breaks out in the Holy Land, and when America gets involved, 8 million Muslims will burn America to the ground. Is it possible that there's a plan to distract America with jihadists when they also attack Israel? Now, that was written back in 2015. Guess what? This is an update today. They're burning both countries now. But as I say, Israel calls it terrorism, and they're dealing with it like it is, and we're being lied to. Turkey's Erdogan announced that they would unite the Muslim world to liberate Jerusalem. So it's not so shocking that Egypt is accusing Turkey of providing 10,000 Turkish passports to ISIS and the Islamic State to facilitate travel of fighters across the region. It's very clear that Turkey's leadership and the United States leadership are in agreement to rid the world of Christians and Jews. Remember the three Hebrews, right? So God is telling us what He wants here. Back to this Washington's revelation here. He said, "As my ears listened to the thundering of the cannon, clashing of the swords, and the shouts and the cries of millions in mortal combat, I again heard the mysterious voice saying, 'Son of the Republic, learn, look and learn.'" Now, let me say that we have cried out to the Lord that it wouldn't go this far nor get this bad, and I do believe God has said that's exactly what He's going to do. We've cried out for mercy. Remember the edict that Haman had from the King of Kings, who is representing God there. And the edict from God was to destroy these people because they're rebellious. They don't obey the king. That's what Haman said, right? So he gave him this edict. Then when the bride petitioned him, he gave her an edict to save the people of God. So you see, we used to get revelations about Barack Obama and what he was going to use ISIS in the country to do, to slay the Christians and so on and so forth, up until the time we heard that God was going to have a Cyrus. He was going to have mercy because the people cried out to Him. He was going to have mercy. So we heard these things that are being mentioned here. These things were mentioned to us, that this big war was going to come against the Christians and kill and wipe out many. We know there's a day coming like that in the middle of the tribulation period, the war that the beast makes on the saints. Son of the Republic, look and learn. Where the voice had ceased, the dark shadowy angel placed his trumpet once more to his mouth and blew a long and fearful blast. Well, it's apparent that at this time enough repentance is given to America that God says enough. Because here's the next part. Instantly a light as of a thousand suns shone down from above. This is what we need, saints. I'd like to see it before the whole land is burned, before there is a lot of dead people here from these marauders, these murderers, these barbarians. Instantly a light as of a thousand suns shone down from above me and pierced and broke into fragments the dark cloud which enveloped America. Remember, this was these people that had invaded America, this dark cloud. It broke it into pieces. Kind of like Jehoshaphat's scenario when the enemy was coming as three armies, and from three continents. And people of God were praising the Lord. The bride, Jerusalem, was praising the Lord. And God broke that one army back up into three, and they killed each other off. At the same moment, the angel upon whose head still shone the word union, and who bore, in other words, there are people that are trying to break up the union now. Brown over in California wants to be their president. Of course, he's a really terrible, messed up left winger. They want to secede from the union. They've done their work. They've put their petitions out to secede from the union, and they're getting some cooperation from the higher up. They're planning on breaking America into pieces. Okay, but listen to this. The word that was on this angel was union. "And who bore our national flag in one hand and a sword in the other, descending from the heavens, attended by legions of white spirits." Now, you don't see spirits, right? but they're coming to help here in this revelation. These immediately joined the inhabitants of America, who I perceived were well nigh overcome, but who immediately taking courage again, closed up their broken ranks and renewed the battle. Broken ranks. They were divided. The angel's name was Union. What they're trying to do is break up the Union, right? Okay. So we were told here that the inhabitants of America were warring with the invaders. And I prayed about this and felt that the Lord told me back then in 2015 that when the Christians fear God and start being a witness of true Christianity, the inhabitants of America will begin to listen and be given victory by the Lord. I remember when I was a young Christian and the non-Christians would ask forgiveness when they said bad words or did bad things around us. And there was a respect for the Christians and for our God. But now that Christianity has sunk so low, this respect is just not there. Is it any wonder that God would send chastening before it's too late? I mean, the reason people are not coming to Christianity is because they're scoffing at it. Because it's been given a bad name. And it's not God's fault, it's ours. And these inhabitants of America, even though they war with flesh and blood, can have that conscience again through a good witness from us, right? Oh, saints, we need to get back to the kingdom, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Okay, back to the revelation again. Amid the fearful noise of the conflict, I heard the mysterious voice saying, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." And as the voice ceased, the shadowy angel for the last time dipped water from the ocean and sprinkled it upon America. Instantly the dark cloud rolled back together with its armies that it had brought, leaving the inhabitants of the land victorious. I believe that God has had mercy through our prayers, and that some of this terrible stuff won't be necessary. He's getting our attention. I mean, are you noticing that they want to recount? I mean, these people who cheated the first time want to recount three states to see if they can't, you know, recapture America. These sadistic, wicked people recapture America. It sounds kind of like Pharaoh going to the Red Sea to try to bring Israel back into captivity. Right? And ultimately kill them, you know. Does it sound familiar? It does to me. Missy on this morning asked the Lord, "Is Obama going to finish his term?" Now, you remember Ken Dewey prophesied that he would not finish his term, which I believe is up on January the 20th. So we have a very short time to make sure we have all the grace of God we can get. So anyway, she asked the Lord herself, you know, "Is Obama going to finish his term?" And she got Amos 5. 4 through 9. Let me read it to you. "For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, Seek ye me, and ye shall live. Seek ye me, and ye shall live. But seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal." Bethel means the house of God, right? You know, we're not interested in no buildings and no cliques or anything like that. We just need to seek the Lord, right? "Pass not to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught." and it will truly come to naught. Seek the Lord, and you shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and it devour, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. You who turn justice to wormwood, and cast down righteousness to the earth, seek him that maketh the Pleiades and Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. So he's saying, seek the Lord, who's in control of everything. He's the one who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the earth. Kind of like Pharaoh at the Red Sea. Kind of like the tsunami in Washington, D.C. That bringeth sudden destruction upon the strong. You know, the one that's keeping everybody in bondage. Like Pharaoh at the Red Sea. Sudden destruction upon the strong. So that destruction cometh upon the fortress. I wonder if the fortress is Washington, D.C., which Sandy and Ken and others have seen destroyed by an earthquake and a tsunami. A Red Sea tsunami to take down Pharaoh's army. Well, I say, while they're burning the land out there, you need to call out to the Lord to bring an end to this, to bind and loose the authority that the Lord has given unto you. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much, the Bible says. So humble yourself. Draw near to the Lord. Please do it now. You won't have another chance. We have just a short time until the end of Obama's term. And according to that, I believe it's saying that he's not coming to the end of his term. And let me just show you a little piece of Van Rensburg's prophecy. This is an old, old prophecy, but it was right on. A civil uprising in the USA. And I believe it appears to be still coming, and there will be many deaths unless we get a hold of the Lord. In fact, we're seeing really an uprising against the change that we got with Obama. Anyway, it says, the USA, Spain, Germany, and Japan, and England, with some Commonwealth countries, will be the main allies in World War III. Now, let me just say something. What people are calling World War III, they're thinking it could start any minute. Okay. I do believe the Lord has told us to pray off this thing between Russia and the United States. Because very closely behind this, there is a war coming. We know it's from Revelation chapter 6 and verse 3. That red horse rider takes peace from the earth, right? However, you know, God can fulfill things in different ways when God's people call out to him. I've wondered if this could possibly be that war in the Middle East where Russia and Trump are planning to wipe out ISIS. And are planning to work together to do this. We also know from prophecies that a great war is going to happen in the Middle East and bring much devastation and destruction and misery to the Muslim people until they cry out to God and there's a great revival. Could that be what Russia and America would do? Now, I know Obama's still pushing this thing. He is pushing it, Putin, for no reason whatsoever. You know, lining up weaponry on his border, putting the UN troops out there and this kind of stuff. This is crazy. These people are nuts. They've got those demons I'm telling you about that I know so well. Witchcraft and faction. And they're anarchists. They love to start wars. What happened when these anarchists got in office? We haven't had a time of peace since then. They've been warring and warring and warring and warring. And for goodness sake, he got the Nobel Peace Prize. How in the world? They should jerk that back right away. You know, no, they want to kill. They want to bring destruction on America. They want to bring destruction as Muslims and Muslim sympathizers. They want to bring a war between America and Russia, and so do the elite. They want to bring America down so they can have their one world order. So, could this, what they're calling one World War III, be stopped and this thing we're talking about over in the Middle East happen? Which would be to the betterment of the whole world, probably. The prophecy went on to say most of Western Europe will be overrun and devastated by people from the Middle East. I'd say that was a dead-on prophecy that was given a long time ago. This will be so quick that proper defensive action will not be ready in time. That's certainly exactly what happened. And this is just like George Washington's vision of the Middle East and the North African peoples invading the U.S. and destroying it. In comes ISIS to destroy the U.S. and apostate Christianity. Gratefully, the Lord is going to shorten this and shorten their time and their ability to do what they planned to do and what God threatened they would do. He said, if a people repented, he would repent of doing what the judgment that he promised. So, and here's a portion of another ancient prophecy, the Hildegard prophecies. Then within the Christian people, the Holy Godhead will accomplish signs and wonders as if accomplished them at the time of Moses with the pillar of cloud. There you go, right? The pillar of cloud obviously was right there at the Red Sea and went through the wilderness with them, right? Signs and wonders like that. Wow, isn't that neat? And as Michael, the archangel, did when he fought the heathen for the sake of the Christians. And because of Michael's help, God's faithful children will march under his protection. They will decimate their foes and achieve victory through God's power. And a little bit further, he said, as a result of this, a large number of heathens will join Christians in true faith, and they will say, the God of the Christians is the true God because such wondrous works have been accomplished among the Christians. Did you hear that? That's exactly what we were saying. Either the last broadcast or the one before that, that because of this Red Sea experience, a lot, just like Rahab said, by the way, a lot of the nations that are looking on are going to realize, oh my goodness, their God is God. Do you remember the Ten Commandments? When Pharaoh falsely went back home, he never got to go back home, actually, because he was drowning in the Red Sea, but he went back home, and he told his wife, their God is God. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you, I read some of the writings of the Egyptians back when Planet X passed over, the destroyer, the dragon passed over. And they were impressed that the Israelites' God was God. Yeah. So I believe that this thing is going to give a revival a good kickstart. And anyway, it goes on. After that, there will be so few men left that seven women will fight for one man. I think maybe his interpretation was a little off here, but the part that he got was that seven women will fight for one man, and that they will say to the man, "Marry me to take the disgrace from me." Well, we know what this means. It means that this is happening at the time that the seven churches, seven women, will take hold of the man-child and go through the wilderness. This is an amazing feat. God put the fear of God on these people. They suddenly got their eyes opened as to who was supposed to be leading them through the wilderness, and it wasn't their preachers who've never lived there, was it? They have, like Saul, walked away from dead Saul on Gilboa and joined up with David. And so she went on to prophesy before the comet, this is Planet X she's talking about, comes many nations, the good accepted, will be scoured with want and famine. The great nation in the ocean that is inhabited by people of different tribes and descent, that's the U.S., the melting pot of nations, right? By an earthquake, storm, and tidal waves will be devastated. It will be divided and in great part submerged, just as we know now, but from many, many prophecies far this side of Hildegard. Right? That nation will also have many misfortunes at sea and lose its colonies in the east through a tiger and a lion. Well, you know, isn't that what happened to the lion? You know, it lost its colonies. It was the greatest empire. They used to say the sun never set on the British Empire. It was so big and so great, but they lost out. And now the lion with eagle's wings is losing out. So then she prophesied, continuing, the comet, by its tremendous pressure, will force much out of the ocean and flood many countries, causing much want and many plagues. And after the great comet, the great nation, talking about America and the seas, made up of many peoples, right, will be devastated by earthquakes, storms, and great waves of water, tidal waves, tsunamis, causing much want and plagues. The ocean will also flood many other countries, so that all coastal cities will live in fear, and many destroyed. All seacoast cities will be fearful, and many of them will be destroyed by tidal waves or tsunamis. And most living creatures will be killed. Even those who escape will die from a horrible disease. Well, this sounds like all that we've heard of the destruction from Planet X Nibiru, right? From way back. So I want to share this, a piece of this revelation too, which was given to Deborah Horton in January of 2016. Just a piece of it, because it goes along with what we're talking about, all this burning of the cities and so on and so forth, which I believe God wants you to fast and pray against. And pray in the rain to destroy all this. Pray in devastation to the enemy. So we called this back in January of 2016, Sacrifice the Flesh to Escape the Beast. I asked the Lord, this is Deb's revelation here, she said, I asked the Lord that if there was a message in this dream for the body to give me a clear word about whether to send it or not. And I received 1 Corinthians 13:1. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Well, gifts are great. They are the power of God to help the brethren and the world. But only fruit like love will give entrance into the kingdom. 2 Peter 1:9 says, "For he that lacketh these things," talking about the attributes of Christ in this text, "is blind, seeing only what is near, having forgotten the cleansing from his old sins. Wherefore, brethren, give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never stumble. For thus shall be richly supplied unto you the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." And Deborah went on, she said, in a dream I was in a place that reminded me of Paul Junior High School, where I attended in Washington, D.C. It faced 8th Street. New beginnings were before their faces, 8th being the new beginnings, and was on the corner of 8th and Oglethorpe Street. This is from the Norse word ogle, which means remnant, and thorpe, which means farm or hamlet. And, of course, Paul means little or humble. So, in other words, the small, humble remnant is God's fertile farm. And these disciples, meaning learners and followers, are in the school of the Lord, while most are playing hooky in Babylon, right? They're just playing church. Have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. From such turn away. She said, I was in a hallway just outside the auditorium, meaning a place of listening and hearing, right? The auditorium. For those who have ears to hear, right? Outside the auditorium represents a place of sacrifice. Hebrews 13:11 says, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the holy place by the high priest as an offering for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us therefore go forth unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Obviously, if you live the life of Christ in front of the camp, you will be reproached. He was, all of his disciples were, all of the prophets were. So he's saying, hey, suffer with these people outside the camp. Come out from among them and be separate. The stiff-necked people don't know God. And she went on to say, in real life, I had a wooden stage or a wooden floor and wooden seats. In other words, everything founded on the cutting down of the natural life, which is trees, as a sacrifice for the spiritual life, right? The reason I was there, where was she? Washington, D.C. The reason I was there was to give an offering to Emperor Nero. Oh, my goodness. What's he doing there in Washington, D.C.? Well, what did Nero do? The couple of things that we can see here is Nero sacrificed the flesh of many Christians. And Nero was the head of the beast who burned Rome to remake it in his own image, much the way the modern head of spiritual Rome, the U.S., and our leader, will burn it for change. That's what I wrote. Will burn it for change, quote unquote, change. The things that have been are the things that shall be. Guess what? It happened. We could update this today. This burning of America by our Nero is being fulfilled now. Yeah. So, what is all this saying? It's saying our sacrifices of flesh appease the wrath of the beast towards us and our brethren from the hand of God. Deb said, I asked for a word about Nero and received by computer 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. Now, this is amazing because I found this today. I was looking for something and I found this thing, so that's why I'm sharing it with you. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, in other words, all of this is as a sacrifice of the natural life in order to escape this judgment from the beast, right? And turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. So God's offering something here we can't afford to pass up. I just received this same verse, asking about this same thing. This is clear that the Lord wants us to sacrifice what we want to do, so He can save our land, spiritual and physical. The beast is only a threat to us and to the brethren if we do not sacrifice our flesh. I just asked what we could do to help in the factious war that was coming against Trump. I asked that in the evening. The next morning, I saw on my clock 333. And the first thing I thought of was Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, will show thee great things and difficult which thou knowest not. Awesome. So first thing I thought of was the same thing was in my heart, you know. What can we do to put down this factious war? Call on the Lord. Same thing we've been getting all the way through this revelation here. Call on the Lord. Cry out to God. And He said He would show us great things and difficult, which we know not. Calling upon the Lord because of what the threat that the Lord had given to us about Mr. Obama and what he was going to do with his troops in America is when we found out about Cyrus. And now, of course, Pharaoh's trying to get down to the Red Sea to bring everybody back into captivity because he lost that battle. As far as we're concerned, quicker we get to the Red Sea, the better. But we need to have the grace of God when we get there, right? And also, that night I heard in the night the same verse, 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. See, the people that continue on in their wicked ways, you don't care how far down the ladder you are you climbing the ladder? Are you doing something that's before you now? Turn from the wicked ways that you know are wicked ways now. You can help in this battle. God hears the prayers of people who are repentant and walking with Him. He heard the prayers of the bride in every one of the scenarios that I've mentioned, and more. He heard the prayers of the bride. Then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Another one that came to me is James 5 and 16. Confess therefore your sins one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The supplication, or the effectual fervent prayer, of a righteous man availeth much in its working. And the same night, I saw a vision or a dream, I don't know which, it was kind of in that stage between. I saw in a vision dressers, you know, like clothes dressers, right? Stolen from the house of God. And as I thought on it, I saw that our biblical works are our clothes, right? Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and don't make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Don't have the garment spotted by the flesh, which we are to hate, right? And of course, if they're in a drawer, they're not being worn or used. So they're stolen. In other words, we're not taking any, we have no advantage of them, right? It's kind of like your armor being stolen, because armor is very much like our clothes. Your armor, of course, you put it on, but all of the attributes of the armor is about putting on the Word of God. It's the same as our clothes, right? But putting on the actions of the Word of God is a defense against everything in this world. And another verse that was given to me was Matthew 6 and 33. But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If we put the Lord's kingdom first, like we're supposed to do the Lord in everything first, right? Our house will be taken care of. If not, we're constantly trying to catch up. And we're living under the curse, because there is a curse on seeking your kingdom first, your household first. There's a curse. Let me explain that. Anna got two times in the last few days a text. It's all about brethren doing their own will, building their own house, instead of seeing to the needs of God's house, or God's people, which is his house, right? And being cursed for it. So, what's your gift? What's your calling? What do you do to build the house of God? We're all called to do this. What do you do? Are you putting it to work for the kingdom? I hope so. Haggai, this is what she received twice, Haggai 1, 2, on down, and I'm going to read it to you. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, it's not the time for us to come, the time for the Lord's house to be built. Oh, really? I would say a lot of people say that, but God is telling us through these texts that that's not so. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your sealed houses while this house lieth waste? The house of God, of course, remember, is his people, right? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little, so there's a curse when you seek to build your house before God's house. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. What does that mean? That means you make your money and everything goes wrong. Everything breaks. You got to go fix this, you got to go fix that, the kids get sick, and so on and so forth. All this curse comes upon you because you're not doing what God told you and putting Him first and His house first. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these other things will be added unto you. In other words, you don't even have to work for them. I think I've proven this. I know I've proven this. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain, bring wood, and build the house of God. And I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Oh, please, saints, stop what you're doing and seek first the kingdom of God. There's an army that's coming against us. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. So they brought their little home, and God cursed it. Why, says the Lord of hosts, because of my house that lieth waste, while you run every man to his own house. What is God saying? Seek first the kingdom of God. That means the kingdom of God in you and the kingdom of God in this world. Meaning those people out there, they need your gift. Just like they need the whole body of Christ's gift, according to 1 Corinthians 12:13, 14, in order to be perfected, matured. What has God called you to do for His house? Well, right now, He's calling you to seek Him and to cry out to Him for the sake of those people that are in the body that are so ignorant they don't know what's happening. The bride was doing that. The people didn't even know what was happening. Esther was doing that, crying out to God, right? When they found out what was happening behind the scenes, they were mortified, right? He said, therefore, for your sake the heavens withhold the dew, and the earth withholdeth its fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land. Have we got a drought? Well, sure. And upon the mountains, and upon the grain, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon the cattle. In other words, your family even comes under this curse. Upon the men, and upon the cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. So, it's far, far better to seek first His kingdom than to live under this curse. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. So many have come under this curse because of a selfish life. Me, my, and mine, right? Us four and no more. Many people are coming under this curse. If they would just seek first the kingdom, they would find a blessing. So then, Brandy got the same warning a third time. Now, when we get it three times, we're saying, okay, Lord, we haven't looked at this hard enough, or we haven't been impressed with it enough, or whatever. You know, in our morning prayer meeting, we get these revelations, and if God expresses a lot of importance on it, we share it with the larger congregation here, which is good, and we've done that. And so we did this too. But he got a confirmation of the same two words that Anna got. And he got Haggai 2 and 14 on down. Let me read that. Then answered Haggai and said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, says the Lord, and so is every work of their hands. That which they offer there is unclean. And now, I pray you, consider from this day and backward, before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord. So consider, before you started working on God's house, what was happening, is what he's saying. Before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple. Consider from this day and backward. Through all that time, when one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. They were being plundered by the palm worm, the canker worm, the caterpillar. And when one came to the wine vat to draw out 50 vessels, there were but 20. I smote you with blasting, and with mildew, and with hail, and all the work of your hands. Yet you turned not to me, saith the Lord. Consider, I pray you, from this day and backward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, since the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree have not brought forth. From this day will I bless you. So he's saying, once you started on my temple, working on my people, doing what you're called to do, you can't just sit there and soak up the word all of your life and not go out and be a river of living water. You're just a stagnant pond if you do that, right? So God says, use your gift. Bless the people. Give to them that you see in need, your brethren that you see in need. Not just money, all of your gift that God has given you. You know, we're stewards in the New Testament, right? So God is speaking, but some are not obeying. Otherwise, God would not emphasize this to us to share. We shared it with the local brethren and also we're sharing it with you. And back to Deb's revelation, she said, the offering that I was carrying was about 3 to 5 pounds of raw ground beef with a strip of raw bacon on top. But I didn't want to give the offering to him raw. So here she was going to this guy that burned Rome, right? And he's burning America now. He don't know we know that. what is raw flesh? It's that which is not sacrificed in the fiery trials of life, right? These trials are tests of whether we will deny our flesh on our cross to be obedient to the word. What's your flesh want to do? Build your own house, your own kingdom, you know, but you never catch up that way. Even tithers wonder why they're not blessed. Well, the reason they're not blessed is because they're not stewards. They consider the 10% belongs to God, but Jesus said, if you don't renounce everything you have, you can't be my disciple in the New Testament. And they just ignore that. They'd rather go back under the Old Testament tithe. So that they can stay pretty rich and, you know, you just put it all. Am I saying just give it all away today? No, I'm just saying put it all in God's hands and let him tell you what he wants to do. Put it all in God's hands. Not just your money, everything, your time, everything. We've been paid for, bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are not our own. We were bought with a price. And a person with raw flesh is unproven and unacceptable. 1 Peter 4 and 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial among you, which cometh upon you to prove you, as though a strange thing happened unto you. But inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, rejoice that at the revelation of his glory, that is his glory in you, right? Also, you may rejoice with exceeding joy. And if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are ye, because the Spirit of glory and the Spirit of God rests upon you. Amen. So, if she would bring this sacrifice, before Nero, he wouldn't be able to touch her. I'm not going to share the rest of the revelation with you, but it's all about that, and it's very good. I want to tell you about this, though. This is from Nero, Caesar, and the Christian Faith by Wayne Jackson. It's just a piece of it. One of the most despicable manifestations of human flesh ever to disgrace this planet was Nero, Claudius, Caesar. Born in AD 37, Nero was educated at the feet of the philosopher Seneca, whom he eventually forced to commit suicide. Nero murdered his way to his imperial throne. Oh, really? Do we know anybody else like that? Which he occupied from AD 54 to 68. His life was characterized by debauchery, violence, he caused his own mother to be killed, and extravagance. In AD 64, a terrible fire broke out in Rome. It was strongly believed that Nero deliberately torched the city in order to justify building a more splendid one. What do you think change is all about, huh? He didn't tell you that change meant making this a Muslim nation, did he? That change might mean taking care of you so that somebody else could take your place, or converting you under force of arms. He didn't tell you that, did he? The report was that he sent out all of his servants to burn the city, right? At any rate, the conflagration raged out of control for more than a week, substantially destroying about 70% of the area. As a consequence of this tragedy, the widespread belief in Nero's complicity, the emperor became the brunt of intense criticism. I would say, yes, our leadership is in for criticism. Of course, they're telling you lies so that they can finish burning the country. They should be telling you, hey, watch out for people sneaking in the woods around your house and call us. Oh, no, they wouldn't do that. That would be saving America. They're not interested in doing that, right? The ruler seized upon a plan due to the fact that Roman sentiment was hostile towards Christianity. The emperor would blame the followers of Jesus for this crime. My. Who are they blaming? The conservatives, the Christians, etc. Who are they? A bunch of Satanists. A bunch of pedophiles. Thus did he, and in AD 64, a fierce persecution was launched against the saints in Rome, and it got really, really nasty. And so could this situation. But the Lord has told us, if we repent of our sins and we call upon Him, He will deliver us and restore this land. And He means what He says. We just need to do what He says. Now, here's a revelation. I want to share a piece of it with you. This is from Pastor T.D. Hale, December of 2011, The Burning of America and Persecution. Does that sound familiar? Okay. And this is a portion of two dreams that were given to Pastor Hale. I certainly was shocked when I saw what I saw. In the dream, I began to see myself going across America. I was floating, suspended in the air, going across America. I had no fear about what I was seeing, but then all of a sudden, I began to see bombs had landed everywhere. Maybe they weren't landing, maybe they were made right there on the ground. Because this is the fire that he's talking about is stuff that's going to be happening just like this. The land was totally destroyed. It looked like things were totally wiped off. Grass, trees, everything. Well, if you bomb, you bomb, you know, strategic places. You don't bomb the grass and the trees, right? There's reasons for burning all this up. They want to impress you that you must obey them. You must submit to them. If they want to put their own president in there, then you must submit. This is not a democracy. Were you mistaken? Did you think this was a democracy? They don't think so. These are a bunch of communists. They're a bunch of people that have no respect for humanity. Anybody that speaks against them has got to be anti-black or anti-communist or anti-something. You know, that's their thing nowadays, is they want to bludgeon you with something that's totally stupid and is not true. Everything was gone, burned. There was nothing left. There was nothing on the trees. There was just total disaster. I don't know if it was everywhere, but it was everywhere that I could see from the point that I was at. Well, he's had really good dreams and visions and revelations as far as I can tell. So this sounds drastic. Well, how do you know they're not planning on going there? It's terrible in Israel. I mean, they're still, well, at one time we prayed and we rebuked it and our whole state didn't have any fires. And then within a few days they started again. So now we're praying again. Okay. When I saw this, I saw people standing around their homes and things that were left holding on to each other. I saw people that laid dead. I heard the cries of the people saying, this should never have happened. This should never have happened. What should have been done to stop it? Or what has been done by traitors that has caused it? Right? It was like they just kept saying it over and over again. This should never have happened. Oh, Lord, this should never have happened. You could tell that life had changed. There was no food. Of course, you think that they're not going to go after the crops and everything else? No, they're going to do anything they can to destroy. That's what they do the best. Muslims are great at destroying everything that's not Muslim. Communists are too. Anarchists are too. These people all have the same spirits. There was no food. There was no water. I could see babies crying, grown-ups, men all crying, holding on to their families. They were begging God for mercy. It's better to do it on this side, don't you think, folks? I do. As I moved along, I saw people running and looking for their loved ones who were missing, and they were completely, completely out of their minds. Insanity had taken over. I could see people slinging themselves off bridges and committing suicide. Father, in the name of Jesus, we, who are your people, put our faith together. And we ask you for this mercy. We ask you to turn these things around quickly. Lord, what they're attempting to do with recounting the votes, we ask, Lord, that if they count again, that Trump will have more votes. obviously, Hillary has been discovered to be behind the threats against the lives of the electors if they will not change their votes. And who's doing something about that? Lord, we just ask you to protect the electors from these vicious people who have already killed a lot of people. They don't mind killing people. Anything they want, they do. We're just there for the killing. So, Lord, we just ask you to have mercy on those electors, protect them, give them bravery, cause them to stick to their positions, and even turn some towards that same position. And Lord, we just thank you for doing this in the name of Jesus. Thank you for outlawing it, changing it, doing whatever you do the best, Lord, to bring this about where they will not change this thing. Obviously, Lord, we're still being threatened with this because we haven't met the condition enough. Humble ourselves and pray. You said you would hear from heaven and heal our land. So, Lord, I ask you to put it in the heart of your people to humble themselves, confess their sins, get right with you, and pray. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. So, Lord, thank you for doing this for us. Thank you for having mercy upon us. Thank you for pouring out your Spirit, O God. Thank you for doing these things. Lord, just like Jehoshaphat sent the praisers out front when the enemies had come against them, much like the continents that are sending people against us now. Lord, we ask you in Jesus' name to put it in the heart of your people to praise you for this answer, for this mercy, for this grace, to repent, to confess, to cry out to you, and then praise you for the answer. You said, be anxious for nothing, just let your prayers and requests be known unto God with thanksgiving. So, Lord, let us do that. Let us cry out to you, confess, turn to you with all of our heart, and give thanks and praise unto you for this victory that we're about to see at the Red Sea. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace, Lord. Thank you for the outpouring of your Spirit upon us when the Northern Army is defeated. Thank you that they won't burn the forest because they'll be defeated. And thank you, Father, that the cities won't all go up in flames as you have threatened from very good prophetic people. Father, thank you and praise you for this victory. But Lord, raise up your people. Take away the idols that are distracting your people from the very, very important things that we're talking about. Take away the idols, Lord. Bless us, Father, to seek first your kingdom. This is probably the most important time in history for your people to lay down building their own kingdom and begin to build yours. And of course, we do that by humbling ourselves, repenting, turning to you, that we might be one of those blocks that goes into the building, right? And that we might be useful in bringing others prepared to go into the building of this New Testament kingdom of David. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for grace. We do not deserve it. We deserve exactly what you have threatened. And but we cry out to you. I pray that everyone who's out there will forgive everybody from the heart so that they're not a part of the problem and that they don't bring a curse on themselves or on the people around them, but that they're useful in bringing forth the kingdom of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father. Praise you for your mercy. Praise you for your kindness, O Lord. Thank you for putting in our heart to do your will, working in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you, saints, for joining us today, and thank you for your prayers. And please, cry out to the Lord. Take time every day to seek His kingdom, His righteousness, and humble yourselves and cry out for the people around you, the Christians that you know, everybody, that the mercy of God would be upon us. We can see what God has threatened, but He's offered something better. Amen.